Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again, and thanks for joining me for part two of our Stay at Home Worship podcast for my meditation on the scriptures for Christ the King Sunday, November 21st, 2021, entitled Not From This World, based on our reading from John 18, verses 33 through 37. It's been said that for readers today, one of the most confusing words in the scripture is kingdom, especially for Americans. Some of our ancestors, not mine actually, but someone's, fought a war to free us from a king's rule. King, queen, just let someone try to reign over us. We bow down to no man or woman. So, okay, I get it. We don't see ourselves as subservient. Still, I don't know why Colin Kaepernick and others taking a knee, as it's come to be called, I don't know why they should be seen as disrespectful when they kneel for the national anthem. Kneeling has always been a sign of humility, of reverence, of prayer, of worship. People do it in the Gospels. They kneel before Jesus. Most Roman Catholic and Episcopalian churches still have kneelers and use them. Some older Presbyterian churches still have them too and don't use them. Nor do we genuflect or bow before the cross. And I know we fear being idolatrous. Plus, we're an aging denomination. Maybe our old knees and backs just can't take it. But I wonder if we've gone too far. If we are so fiercely independent and democratic, small d, that we can't fully give our allegiance to anyone, even to God. Some years ago, I started kneeling often, if not always, for my nightly prayers, creaky knees or no. It wasn't comfortable at first, and I'm talking about psychological, not physical discomfort. But I realized I needed to physically remind myself regularly that there is one so much greater than I, and so worthy of both my love and my reverence, before whom I am more than willing to kneel. But the sad fact is, there are things we as a people are more than willing to kneel to, kneel before in obeisance, at least figuratively. We do have royals whom we revere. And I'm not just talking about King Elvis or LeBron James or Madonna, the Queen of Pop, or whoever is out there today, or even about any political dear leader, be it Kim Jong-il or Donald J. Trump. Now, speaking of politicians, did you hear about that video posted by the staff of a congressperson who calls himself a proud Catholic Christian? The animated video apparently shows him murdering Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and attacking President Biden with swords. I saw it, and all I could make out was a lot of confusing cartoon violence. I found the whole video stupid, in fact, ridiculous and completely nonsensical. So I'm not sure who that representative kneels before. Doesn't seem to be King Jesus. I fear it may be that great royal ass, social media, which makes people do really stupid things. But wow, do we worship it? So we know it's not just conservatives who bow down to other kings. I think most of us bow before money. Remember Paul, the love of money is the root of all evil. Root of a lot of loyalty and kowtowing too. At this year's recent United Nations Climate Change Conference, COP26, held in Glasgow, you'll remember, there was some progress made. But it was shocking to hear of the big companies who sponsored much of that conference. As one journalist noted, there are huge issues with allowing businesses to promote themselves at a climate conference as part of the solution to a problem they've arguably created. Amazon's Jeff Bezos made a $2 billion pledge to conservation-based initiatives. I mean, that's great, though that's around 0.01% of his total wealth, by the way. But it doesn't erase the fact that Amazon continues to work with fossil fuel industries to extract new oil and gas. Same with Microsoft. Unilever, another of the COP26 sponsors, allegedly creates more than 77,000 tons of plastic a year. And while HSBC has pledged to end fossil fuel financing, a loophole allows it to keep pouring money into existing projects and backing the building of many new coal plants. And blocking out the fossil fuel industry is a start, but these talks still welcoming sponsorships from the companies helping the industry do its dirty work shows a gap in ambition and the risks of letting brands have too big a say in the fate of the world. The risk, we might say, of serving King Commerce, another ruler to whom we bend our knee, but who only has their own interests at heart. And we can't let ourselves off the hook. Although many corporations make a sickeningly huge profit, they make their money by giving us what we want. Old King Coal would be Old King Fossil Fuel today, and he would have plenty of subjects. And a recent article in Sojourners magazine points out, even our solutions reveal our misplaced allegiances. For example, the United States' recent Aim for Climate initiative seeks, we hear, to address the climate crisis by investing in climate-smart agricultural and food systems innovation, positing that technological innovations can reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the agricultural industry, while at the same time increasing food production to tackle the global hunger crisis. In marketing photos for the initiative, apparently, robots cultivate the land and pick its fruit. Is that what we really want? Less jobs for people, more jobs for robots. And who's making a profit? And what kind of energy do those robots run on? Yeah, we have divided loyalties for sure. We do serve many masters, a whole imperial lineup. And still, we say we don't like kings. And if we have difficulty with the concept of kingdom as Pilate understood it, what about the way Jesus saw it? When Pilate asked, "So you are a king," I imagine Jesus clutching his head and going, "Oh, you say that I am a king." Jesus knew Pontius Pilate was talking about politics and a worldly ruler. Jesus was talking about something so much more and so vastly different. A kingdom not rooted in the all too earthly concerns of political and economic power. A kingdom that was more like an anti-kingdom, or some have said an upside down kingdom. Maybe even a bizarro kingdom like in Superman, where the last is first and the humble are lifted up and the hungry eat well. Pilate couldn't see beyond his own interests, even briefly. Jesus could and did always. And what does his kingdom look like? We learn from the Gospels. Cure the sick and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. And yes, sometimes we wonder just how powerful the servant king of such a kingdom can be. Certainly the world wonders and often the world scoffs. But though it's easy to forget, there are many things more powerful than armies and weapons of mass destruction. There are even mightier things than Twitter and multinational corporations and well-funded lobbyists. I think about Malala Yousafzai, who you'll remember was just 15 years old when she survived an assassination attempt by the Taliban, made because of her outspoken advocacy of education for girls. She said, "I have the right to education. I have the right to play. I have the right to sing. I have the right to talk." And I remember a political cartoon after Malala was shot in the head that had a drawing of her with the words, "What terrifies religious extremists like the Taliban are not tanks or bombs or bullets. It's a girl with a book." Malala and Black Lives Matter activists and Jesus, to name a few, can be terrifying. Not because they threaten harm, but because they threaten loss of power. The power of the book and the justice scale and the law of love is enormous. But it's hard to admit fearing that kind of power. Easier to turn to ridicule and outrage and violence. Like Pilate. He didn't seem to fear the bedraggled so-called king who answered him rudely and in riddles and clearly didn't have any military support. Nevertheless, Pilate condemned him to die. The crowd may have cried for Jesus' blood, but it was Pilate who orchestrated the execution. And since under the law of the Roman Empire, calling oneself king was grounds for treason, Pontius Pilate, according to the Gospels, wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Probably the title was meant derisively to mock Jesus for his lofty claim, although it seems he never did claim it. Yet it was more accurate than Pilate knew. But Pilate didn't understand a kingdom that was not from this world. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that comes from heaven, is a place where the sick are made healthy, where children are blessed, where those who suffer for doing good work find welcome and rest, where in the end, truth and beauty and equity will thrive and grow till all find safety and sustenance there. I am tangled up in so many conflicting allegiances, but I know that is the kingdom whose king I want to serve. Let us pray. excuse me while I take a knee or two. God of heaven and earth, ruler of all and yet servant of all, how can we wrap our heads around your power or your goodness? We are right to wonder and question, for you gave us minds and hearts with which to learn and discern. But sometimes, dear Lord, let it be enough for us simply to bask in the beauty of your kingdom, as we might bask in the glory of a shaft of sunlight, feeling warmed, enlightened, radiantly alive, filled with the energy to do your loving work. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. May it be so. Amen.